Comic News, episode 102. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside the very broken
Mike. I was going to say broken, beaten, and scarred should be the episode today. Yeah, we're back. Another week has gone by. I was in Vermont just up until an hour ago and have a nice, fun story about that. Actually, I could segue into this, into the Fortress of Comic News with this story, okay? You guys, everybody bunker down here. Hunker down, buckle up. I don't know, one of those words. So I go to Vermont to meet some friends, to go snowboarding. And I've been snowboarding now for like 12 years. I don't know what it is about this trip, but over, like the last week or so, people were like, man, how long have you been snowboarding for? And all this stuff. I'm like, are you good? And I'm like, yeah, I've never had like a major accident. They're like, why do you wear a helmet? And even today I was like the only one wearing a helmet. So like, I just felt so jinxed. So anyways, I'm in Vermont at a mountain called Mount Snow, and it's our second run. I didn't even know this mountain. It's my first time there. And we're on the easiest trail too. I'm just going to come out and say it. Like, I'm not a bad snowboarder. We're just on the easiest trail just to get a look at the mountain. And I hit an ice patch. And if anybody's ever been on a snowboard and you hit an ice patch, it's like, it's sketchy stuff, but I was carving really deep when I hit that ice patch. And so I hit the ice patch and I went off the side of the trail and it hit like three trees. Didn't break anything. The medical people checked me out. But I have a big gaping wound in my leg and like a baseball sized welt, and my elbow and my neck are all, everything's just beat up right now. It's going to hurt a lot tomorrow morning is all I know. But that's not how I'm going to segue that into the Fortress Comic News. So, it was really embarrassing though, because like the girl patching me up was actually pretty cute. And she was like, well, what trail were you on? And I had to tell her like it was like the easiest trail I'm on. She was just like,
oh, it's when you're like, oh, it's on Dead Man's Trail, you know?
Yeah, I was like, they have one that's called like Mine Shaft. And I'm like, it was so funny too, because our friends had split up. They're like, well, we're going to go hit the Black Diamonds. I'm like, well, I've never been to this mountain, so I don't usually start off a mountain hitting the Black Diamonds. So I'm going to go take a nice warm-up run. And little did I know it'd be my last run of the day. So anyways, I'm laying there after I crashed. I get my board off. I stick it in the snow. And my buddy that's with me is like checking me out. He's like, well, give it a second. Let your adrenaline, you know, simmer down before you try to stand up and walk on it. Because like I didn't feel anything. And then I like took my boot off and I had this huge gash in my leg. I'm like, wow, I don't even feel that. But like I'm sitting there, like we're on the edge of the trail and like we're not in anybody's way. And like some middle-aged dude, not even some kid, some middle-aged dude just like rides, like first off, we had a couple kids spray snow on us just because like it's a really dangerous turn in the trail. And while we're sitting there, like 10 other snowboarders almost fell. Like one of them fell, a couple others almost fell because there's like really bad ice patches. It's been really cold here the last couple days. And that's what you got to be mindful of, like when there's no snowfall and really sunny day, it like glistens up that snow and it gets really cold and it's a bad conditions. Which I probably should have been a little safer than I was, but whatever. And you know, I got sprayed with snow, which the kids are just trying to avoid us. I don't really give a shit. And then one guy, a middle-aged man, comes by us and like, he goes, nerd, as he's going down the mountain. I'm like, dude, I'm sitting there with my buddy Greg. I'm like, I think that hurts worse than my leg right now, man. Like, I don't even care that I have like a baseball sized lump on my shin right now. It wasn't shit. It hurts so bad. I'm like, that hurts more than anything that I just got called a nerd by some middle-aged dude. Doesn't even know why I have my board off and I'm laying in the trail. Like I could have fractured something. It just calls me a nerd. So here we are. I came right back home to do my 102nd episode of a podcast solely dedicated to comics, artists and writers of comic books. So little did he know, yes, sir, I am quite a big nerd. So with that, we can start the show this week. Thank you. How's that for a segue?
I just feel like it was, what's the guy from Revenge of the Nerds?
Nerd! Oh, man, what do they call him? Ogre or something like that?
Ogre.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, I did that at work the other day. Nobody got the reference, so I just looked like an asshole. Dude, I love Revenge of the Nerds. Oh, man. What a great movie.
Such a good movie.
Yeah. Anyways.
So couldn't get away with that movie today, though. So, like,
oh, no. Correct. Yeah. No way. Like, it exists, but people, nobody. And that was a thing that, like, when I was a kid, it was on TNT or, like, one of those Comedy Central all the time. And it was, like, the epic scene of, like, where they put on the concert and, you know, like, Poindexter and everybody is, like, singing and like, playing an instrument and, like, the electric violin, all this crazy shit. That was, like, such a, I don't know, it was such a win for the nerds, you know? Like, yeah, we can be cool, too.
We can.
But, yeah. Apparently not. I get called a nerd just sitting there on the mountain. I'm like, how can you even tell? I have, a face mask and goggles on. Maybe because I was wearing a helmet. That's probably why he called me a nerd. I don't know.
Probably. Although that helmet probably saved you.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely hit my head, and my head is completely fine. So anyone who goes skiing or snowboarding, even if you've been doing it for, like, 10 or 12 years like I have, always wear a helmet. I'm a big advocate for helmets. Just wear them when, I don't know, bicycling, rollerblading. If anybody I don't know, do people rollerblade anymore? Scootering. Those scooters are tricky, you know. Wear a helmet. Anything. Just protect your noggin.
Just research brain injuries and concussions.
Yeah.
Or even better yet, there's an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast where he has Dale Earnhardt Jr. on, and they talk about it. Just listen to that.
Yeah.
You'll wear a helmet.
Yeah, for sure. It is nothing to mess around with. I'm very glad that I wore a helmet. Every time I've worn a helmet, there's been a couple instances where a helmet has, like, saved me from. And I felt the whiplash, too. Like, I, you know, after I got out of the trees, my body just felt like my neck is going to definitely hurt tomorrow morning. like, you just know it's coming, and it's terrifying, honestly. Like, I'm trying not to think about it, but I know I'm going to go, like, to sit up tomorrow morning, and it's going to hurt. Everything's going to hurt. So,
Yeah.
Anyways, we have a show to get to. Nobody wants to hear about my ailments. Is there anything going on exciting in your life this weekend you want to talk about? Or
not particularly. Did a lot of cleaning, a lot of family stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, just living the American dream.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, everyone. Cleaning. American dream is cleaning. yeah, you know, besides that, I had a pretty solid weekend. Drank some beer, played some video games, watched half of a movie I'll talk about in a little bit. It's another horror movie, so I know you'll be really interested.
I did start a new RPG session.
Oh,
cool. It's this so I have a buddy who's who, you know, his name is Jeff, and he's a big, like, Norse mythology and Viking nerd.
Yeah.
And he has this RPG system all based around Norse mythology, and it takes place, like, right at the beginning of Ragnarok, and you're a bunch of Vikings.
Nice.
And it's a really cool system, and like, everything that went into it is so involved, and I love it because it's different from any other RPG system I've used. Like, you don't actually roll die in this one.
Lame.
You actually have, like, runes that you use to do different attacks.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And, yeah, so we did one session, and it's been really fun so far. We're going to a new one soon.
Awesome. Yeah, a little quick aside to the show, I guess. Chris and I love tabletop and games and RPGs and all that stuff. I wish I had some more time to devote to that. Unfortunately, it's as you know, it's a lot of time. but really quick, have you ever heard of the game HeroQuest?
Don't believe so.
So I'm going to send you a video after this, and we could even post it on our Facebook page. But HeroQuest is a board game from the 80s, and it's like a simple version of an RPG, but it's like you kind of create your own dungeons, and it's like a 2-hour kind of sit-down thing, and you don't have to, like, devote time to making characters and stuff like that. But they never remade it, and there was a Kickstarter to remake it, and, like, it got shut down by the owner of the, or the creator of the board game, which is crazy because he's never done anything with it since the 80s. And if you go on eBay right now, you look up HeroQuest, the cheapest you could find, like, a decent copy of it, of the board game with everything, is like $200. It's crazy. But look it up. It's really interesting. If you're into, like, RPGs, or, like, you want a simple down version of, like, how to get into that type of stuff, HeroQuest, and I've heard from several people that, like, growing up, they were playing it, and it was, like, awesome. I've always wanted to try it, but I can't really afford to buy that off eBay.
I would love, absolutely love to find time to devote to us doing like board game or RPG content.
I wish. I know.
One day.
One day. Anyways, TV news. Little interesting thing. Luke Wilson. Yep, that is Owen Wilson's brother, the actor, is cast as Stripe in the Stargirl show that's coming up, which is interesting because if you look up the character Stripe, not a hugely popular character. I mean, Stargirl isn't really either when you think about it. But he's basically Iron Man. He wears like a suit, a metal suit, and he kind of like buddies up with Stargirl. And I don't know what it is about this new DC TV, but they love their guys in robot suits. Like, yeah. Brendan Fraser as Mr. Robot, Robot Man. And yeah, so we'll see how hopefully the suit looks a little better. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a character I'm not familiar with, and
I'm
particularly excited for. So, I mean, Luke Wilson, I like him. I believe he was in that 70s show for a few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's done some movies that I've seen over the years, so I know he's a good enough actor.
Yeah.
But like anything comic book, I will give the show a try. I've said it every time we bring it up. But we'll see.
Yeah, definitely be checking it out. Yeah, so movies. You watch anything this weekend?
No.
Okay. So I know I have not gotten to Mary Poppins, and I'm sure it's going to be at the theater at least till next weekend when I can get to it. But the movie I watched was last night. Yeah, last night. So let's talk about Netflix for a second. Did you see like they rolled out all these trailers for like the month of January of like what's going on with Netflix?
Yeah.
One of them is called, I don't know if I've talked about it on here yet. Is it called like, I think it's called Kingdom or something like that. But it's a whole season of like it's a Japanese show like samurais and stuff. And it's like feudal Japan, but they're zombies.
I'm in.
Sold. Like, I don't know who's ever orchestrating things over at Netflix. And it's all subtitled and everything. So it's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets zombies. And I was like, this is all I wanted out of Westworld. And, you know, when they went to Samurai World, this is what I wanted. I just want a whole season of this. And I'm going to get it, apparently. Also, Mads Mikkelsen is playing there's a graphic novel adaptation movie that he's doing where he plays like an assassin with like an eye patch. They released the trailer for that. It's a pretty big deal. There's I can't remember the name. I think it's like Arctic is the name of the movie. But the Golden Globes happened last Sunday, right? Yeah. And the thing about the Golden Globes is there was that huge controversy that they didn't want to give movies made by Netflix the awards for some reason. I'm sure it has to do something with like the whole politics of like movie producing companies and all that crap. But a couple Netflix movies did win last week. I can't remember what they were, but they were streaming movies that won. And I thought it was pretty interesting that, and a lot of people were, you know, one of the directors of the movies actually talked about like whether it was fair or not, but like Netflix is taking a chance on all these creators and directors. And I think it's a really cool thing.
It's a thing with these award shows have to kind of adjust to.
Yeah.
And that's that the traditional theatrical release is not, I mean, it's still viable, but it's not the standard anymore. Like,
right.
Obviously your $500 million Avengers movie or $1 billion Avengers movie, whatever, is never going to be straight to Netflix or anything like that. But
yeah,
there's still really good content coming out from Netflix. And I think you're going to start seeing more that are like Oscar bait movies coming that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see them starting to win. You're seeing this across all mediums too. I mean,
yeah.
Video games are fighting a similar thing. Movies, and I'm sure comics will soon with Comixology releasing stuff on their platform. And so, yeah, it's a brave new world we're in, all this internet.
Yeah, it really is. But the movie they just added, they added a bunch of movies. They added like Monty Python's Holy Grail. They added, I think like Goldmember's on there now, which is an amazing movie. All the Indiana Jones movies, which were on Prime before. But they added Train to Busan, which is a Japanese horror film.
Okay.
And it's zombies. It's not particularly like terrifying, but it's a pretty cool idea. So I'm like halfway through it, and if you look at any like horror websites or forums or Reddit r/horror and stuff like that, Train to Busan is like, it always appears on like a list, whether it's like a top 10 list or top 20 list. Someone always puts that on their list. And I'm about halfway through it. I'm going to finish it up tonight. But the idea behind it is these two parents are split up, and the little girl, it's her birthday. She wants to go visit her mom who lives in Busan, and the father is a very, very busy businessman. And she finally convinces him to take her on the train there the next day. And like as they're doing that, there's like a bio attack happening. And of course, zombies. And these aren't just regular zombies. These are like the 28 days later zombies that are like sprinting, you know, kind of like, what is it? World War Z. Was that the movie?
Yep.
It's along the same lines as that. And when they're trapped on a train, like basically they end up on the train and like someone in one of the cars gets infected, and then they keep running and running to next car. It's kind of terrifying. Cause like, where do you go? You're stuck in the train, right?
Yeah.
But it's really well done. It shows like the terrifyingness of like a zombie, and like kind of the, like they figure out, oh, if they can't see us, then they don't know we're here. So, cover up the windows or something. So like the zombies go back to like their, you know, their state of like, oh, we don't see anybody, so we're not going to attack anyone. It's cool. It's a really good movie. It's, if you like horror, but not, I mean, it's more like along the lines of 28 Days Later, where there's not that any jump scares like 28 Days Later, but it's just a good story overall. So it's definitely going to be one of my top 10, I think.
That sounds right up my alley too, because that's,
yeah.
I like, we joke that I don't watch horror, but I just don't watch as much as you.
Yeah, you like zombies though.
But yeah, that's straight up my alley right there.
Yeah. So you should definitely check it out. I mean, a lot of people can't deal with the subtitles, but that stuff doesn't really bother me. Yeah, definitely a good watch. So we got some movie news. There's some talks going around Avengers Endgame, whether Black Knight is going to be introduced.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for the Marvel Universe? What do you think? Like,
so there's,
how does Black Knight fit in everything?
So the rumors kind of start and end with, there's a bunch of Marvel comics that Marvel is pushing forward as like, you know, these are the influences for Avengers Endgame. They do it for every movie.
Yeah.
And a lot, if not all of them, have Black Knight in it.
Hmm.
And then there's also the rumor going around that the movie will have flashbacks in it. So what this says to me is, we had talked 6-7 months ago that Guy Ritchie was attached to do some of the British Marvel characters like Black Knight and like Captain Britain.
Right.
If he is introduced, what it does to me is it introduces a whole new team.
Yep.
And it introduces kind of a new genre for Marvel. Because when everyone talks about the comic book bubble, they don't really mention that all these movies have their own genre to them. And we haven't seen a medieval movie in that universe.
Right.
And Black Knight's a character I really like, who's, I think, really underused in the universe. I mean, he's exactly what you think. He picks up Excalibur and becomes the Black Knight.
Yep.
And it just could be something different for them, and something to kind of, you know, give it a little injection of something new that they don't have. I think that this isn't going to happen, though.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things are pointing towards it, but I don't see it. But as I've said, nothing will surprise me at this point with Marvel. We are getting a Captain Marvel movie here soon, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's a Guardians of the Galaxy. There's three Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Well, third one coming, but you know, you never know. And they would get the jump on DC, because DC does have those characters as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of their one up that they had, because DC has kind of beat them to the, you know, the solo female lead movie.
It's smart to just add more to your catalog. So,
right.
You know, that could bring somebody in, or it just adds, you know, a different flavor to your movies. What I wonder is how they do they bring a modern day if he does show up, or how does that come about? And it'll be interesting to see if they do it.
It's kind of interesting too, because Guy Ritchie just got done doing a King Arthur movie like last year.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. It's kind of the same thing, but yeah.
I would much rather see Captain Britain come in, but
yeah, that's me. Same. All right, so now we're at the beloved comic news. This is some interesting news for me. DC is joining Comixology Unlimited.
Yes, I'm excited for this too.
Yeah, this is great. It brings up some questions though, of like, with the whole DC TV app, weren't they trying to push for comics on there as well? Like, or they kind of just got away from that?
They were, but the comics side of it is pretty lame.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've checked it. There's not a whole lot.
There's not a lot there.
But for me, I think this is such a smart move, because I pay for Comixology Unlimited. It's like $6 a month.
Yeah.
It's an amazing deal. And they're always, it's like Netflix. They're always introducing new stuff. And it's been pretty much exclusively indies and Marvel for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then Dark Horse does their own thing still. But with this introduction, like I went through and started looking at stuff. It's not even just DC. It's also Vertigo. So you're getting Sandman. You're getting Alan Moore Swamp Thing.
That's awesome.
And then you're getting, like, pretty much everything of the DC side is Rebirth, which is genius, because you get people in the new continuity and they start buying the new stuff.
Right.
But then there's also, like, stuff that I'm ashamed to say I've never read, with like JLA by Geoff Johns,
mm-hmm.
and JSA by Grant Morrison.
Yep.
And, dude, Transmetropolitan's on there.
That's awesome. They're doing just all the classic stuff.
It's so much good stuff, and it's a great injection to the service. Anyone that has the ability to read comics digitally should sign up for this, because it's got a bunch of the books that, like, for me, they just introduced Immortal Hulk Volume 1. That was a book I really wanted to read, but I couldn't add it to my pull list because it's already so big.
Mm-hmm.
And now with this service, I, you know, get to read the first volume. So it's great to see DC jump on board.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, so this is pretty big. Kieran Gillen is leaving Star Wars after issue 67. Which I know is very sad for you. Who would you want to take over after that?
So many. So this is the book that was started by Jason Aaron. So I've gotten Jason Aaron on it already.
Right. Yeah.
Aaron Gillen's taken over. I mean, it's so obvious to me, but Donnie Cates is my number one.
Yeah.
He's the best writer at Marvel, or at least my favorite, I should say. But I would really like to see Chip Zdarsky take over. I think he's just been on a tear recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his voice just fits those characters. He could add a little bit more of a less serious nature to the whole thing.
Mm.
So those would be my first two picks right there. Who will get, I don't think they've announced yet, and I can't wait to find out, because the Star Wars books have been fantastic, especially this one, which is like the center of everything.
Yeah, they definitely know who to. I mean, it's going to be a good pick. They've done well with it so far.
It's the flagship Star Wars book, so it's got to be someone big.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
There's a Thanos series coming in April from Teeny Howard. This is not a small Howard. That's just the name. and Ariel Olivetti. It's going to be a story involving young Gamora, which we don't know too much about, I feel like. But I mean, besides what you see in the movies and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how much of this they delved into, but when it comes to Jim Starling stuff, especially Marvel Jim Starling, I'm in. So anything Thanos, I'll at least give a shot. I'll be interested to see, because, you know, his relationship with Gamora is, I mean, it's a big deal in modern mythology with Marvel, so it'll be cool to explore that a little bit further.
Yeah, for sure. I know we have some sad news this week. Ron Smith, who was a longtime artist for Judge Dredd, I mean, Judge Dredd has been around since the 80s, passed away at 94. So, God bless him. That's a long life.
It's a hell of a run.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Judge Dredd fan. I don't know about you, but
yeah. I'll read it from time to time.
I looked it up, and he's the guy you think of when you think of Judge Dredd. Like, every image I have of Judge Dredd in my mind outside of the movies,
it's all drawn by him,
is Ron Smith. I looked it up. All the covers I know are him. All the character designs are him. It just looked like he had a big influence on that series in particular. So,
cool.
Good on him.
Yeah, good on him. All right, what are we reading this week? I had quite a few comic books this week. I actually caught up on, I'll talk about that first, a Mark Miller book by the name of Prodigy, because I completely forgot it was out. It's into issue 2, and the third issue comes out in February, basically. And it's weird because, like, the way it's advertised, it says, like, Netflix on the front of it. So I think it's already, we talked about it, it's already going to Netflix, right? But I guess they're going to release these issues first. But it's almost like that Limitless movie / show where this guy is a prodigy at anything. So, like, it kind of starts off with he's like an 11-year-old playing on a men's polo team and, like, destroying everybody at polo, and then he gets picked on, so he goes and learns karate that night and comes back and, like, kicks their ass. And he just kind of, like, he can see, like, you know, 12 different things happening at once. So he's been solving all the world's problems. And it's a pretty interesting story. There's a really messed up villain, pretty messed up even for Mark Miller, of, like, these guys, they call themselves, like, I think the Black Dragon, but they're, like, an old ancient society. And we get introduced to them, like, they're doing, like, the most dangerous game thing where they capture these, like, orphan children and they release them in the woods and shoot them. Yeah.
Holy shit. And
really messed up. Like, you get introduced to these guys, these, like, kids are, like, they wake up in this, like, orphanage, and they look in the wall, and there's all these, like, children's faces with, like, their mouths sewn shut, like, on the walls. It's, like, terrifying, too. Yeah. I'm like, wow, Netflix is really, I don't know about this one. But yeah, and like, it focuses on these two kids, and they're trying to get away and stuff. It's really good. The main overall story is these evil guys are behind something's happening. I don't really know too much about it, but all these mysterious, like, transports keep appearing all over the world, and they keep finding, like, dead live or dead animals in them, like rabbits and mice, and some of them even found humans in some of the ships. But it's like, he concludes that it's like a parallel universe trying to invade, and these are their tests that they're sending over. Which is pretty cool, and there's some mystical stuff to it too. Like, he does some cool. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a really good book. I mean, it's Mark Miller, and that guy you can't go wrong picking up a book by him. And Raphael Albuquerque.
So it looks pretty.
Yeah, right. It's a great book. Also, I had Batman this week. Batman was a really trippy issue, where he's fighting Professor Pig, and with the pig mask, and it ends up being, like, all in his head. He's, like, fighting him for the whole issue, and then he realizes it's, like, Professor Pig transforms into Robin, and it was kind of like him arguing with Robin the whole issue. It was okay. A little too out there for me, I think.
Professor Pig's one of those bat villains that I feel like has never been done right.
Yeah, like, he's so terrifying, and, like, they always just show him, like, chopping up meat. It's like, I don't know. I've
never read a book where he was, like, interesting.
Yeah, he's always just, I don't know. Like, why pick him, I guess, is what I don't understand. He wasn't really crucial to the story at all. Yeah, and then I had Kick-Ass, think number 11, I believe. Yeah. And that was a really good, issue. It's basically, she's going to, she goes to a big kingpin's house to take him down with a group of people. And she kind of runs into a juggernaut character with a metal suit, and that's how the issue ends. So I can't wait to see the fight scene in that next issue. Hit Girl finished up an issue. I guess it's issue 4 of the run that they're on, but it concluded the whole Rome storyline where there's kind of a nice twist at the end. I don't know if they're going to keep, going on with the story, but, she helps the thief in Rome get her father back from that evil grandma, mastermind crime lord that she's been sending nuns, out to get them while they're on the streets. So she's been slaying nuns the last two issues, which is kind of messed up. But she ends up driving this giant claymore right through the through the grandma lady, which is awesome to see. And then I had Justice League this week, which you probably read too.
I did.
Before they talked to Starman a little bit at the end, but the whole vault thing on Thanagar Prime is pretty interesting. Basically, the Hawk World Thanagar Prime is it's so elaborate, and they have these nice giant vaults. But then, as they get deeper into the vaults, Martian Manhunter, Hawk Girl, and
John Stewart
break into the vaults, and they find that they're holding a Martian there, and they're using her to kind of as a power of creation for the planet. That's why it's thriving so well. It was really Scott Snyder's doing a lot of weird stuff.
It's a Hawk person story. Yeah, so it's confusing, right, as hell.
Yeah. They're using the manipulation powers of the Martian to make the nth metal stronger. I don't know. But then we got to the crucial part, which is the Starman. At the end of the issue, where basically Starman says that you're gonna meet the lady who was there at the dawn of the universe, or whatever her name is. I can't remember the name right now.
Perpetua,
yeah. So hopefully we just get on to that main story, because anything involving, I just get more and more confused when the Hawk Girl, and I'm Hawkman's back, but he's not a real Hawkman, so I don't know anymore.
It's Hawkman's one of those characters for DC, or unless you're a real Hawkman nerd,
yeah,
or just a big DC guy, it's hard to get into him. And
yeah,
this whole story arc for me has been kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
with the exception of the little there's literally four pages in each issue that revolves around Starman and what's going on there. And that's
I want more of that.
So yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that's what I had though for the week.
So I got Miles Morales, Spider-Man issue number 2. Basically here, Miles is teaming up with Rhino, who has been both a friend of Miles, and Rhino's niece have been kidnapped by this this crime duo or team or whatever they are, and they're turning these children into cyborgs essentially.
Okay.
And they have to go fight it. They end up finding out the Tombstone's behind the whole thing. So it's a cool fight. It's an interesting dynamic between Rhino, who's a old Russian man, and Miles, who is 18, 19-year-old, not even 16-year-old kid.
Yeah.
It's been really good, though. Who's the writer on it? I remember it's someone I really like, too, and I'm zoning on his name. But I thought he's done a great job in these first two issues. Saladin Ahmed.
Awesome.
Outer Darkness number 3. I can't believe how much I'm enjoying this book. It's like a chocolate and peanut butter situation. It's spacefaring, kind of Star Trek-y, but at the same time, there's a lot of horror elements, like demonic possessions. This whole issue is about rebirth and how they can bring back their... If you have the correct insurance in this world, you can actually be reborn after you die.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool book. It's something just different, and
that's
what I love about it. I got Venom Unleashed, number 1.
Nice.
pick this one out because actually Ryan Stegman is writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it ties into Donnie Cates' run. So this one's about that Venom dog we saw in the last issue.
Yep.
And it's like a quick story with him, and it's interesting enough, but then you get to this point where you find out that Carnage has this plan that he's setting into place, and he's starting to kind of take over people's minds with these symbiote slugs to go after people who have symbiotes.
Kind of like Animorphs?
Kind of. It's an interesting story, and if you're reading Donnie Cates' run, I think it's going to become integral to what's going on.
Cool.
And it's a real like artist story because there's not a whole lot of dialogue. So Ryan obviously wrote it to appease a artist.
Nice.
Avengers number 12. Most of this issue is about the formation of the Agents of Wakanda and who they are. So there's no longer an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So Black Panther decides he wants to create his own organization to do kind of the underground work that the Avengers can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets this team together. But we end up finding out that there's something going on in space. So Dracula is out in space, and he has this army of vampires, and they're going after Morbius, the living vampire, who was brought back. And this is basically setting up a story where the Avengers are going to have to fight Dracula. And, you know, couple issues ago, they hinted that they're bringing in Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Blade is now officially a part of the team.
That's awesome.
Because who else do you want to fight Dracula?
Yeah, like you gotta get Blade in there.
And then Thor number 9 is kind of a tie into that. It's so there was a woman in the last run of Thor that was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and she's now kind of one of the leads of the Agents of Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her interacting with Jane and Thor, and this issue, on top of tying in with that, is really just hinting towards the War of the Realms. Like they're really, that's coming in the next couple months. That's Jason Aaron's big push. So that's what this book was mostly about.
Cool.
And then my last one was Star Wars: Age of the Republic - Jango Fett.
These titles get longer and longer.
Yeah, I love the Star Wars titles. So this one's all about, I mean, they do a quick backstory of Jango, but we all know the story. He gets offered a bunch of money to use his genetic code to make the clones. And they get into the whole fact that he wants a son. So he has a son, and that's Boba Fett.
Yep.
We all know this, right? So this story is about he's still taking on jobs as a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets this team together and he brings his son along. And what he's trying to teach him is how to become an effective bounty hunter and essentially take over for him after he goes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really cool kind of father-son story with a lot of Boba as a child murdering people.
Oh, nice.
But it was cool. As kind of lame as Jango was in the movie, I always enjoy his side stories in comics.
Yeah.
Those are ones I really picked up when Dark Horse was doing it, so I was glad to see Marvel take it in the new continuity.
Yeah, they didn't do a whole lot with him in the movies.
Yeah.
Kind of lame.
But that's all I got.
Wow. Nice short episode this week for me, because I'm broken.
Yeah, so anyone that's missing the interviews, I know the last couple of episodes we haven't done an interview. I've got some lined up.
Yep.
Beginning of the year is tough for people, so
yeah.
There's some cool ones coming down the pipeline.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
But speaking of interviews, Mike, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh wow, nice segue. Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you, Chris?
Well, you can find me at Fortress Chris, or of course you can find the show at FCN_official on Twitter, or just go to FortressComicNews.com, where everything we do is posted right there on that beautiful website.
Everything on one page.
And remember, everybody, if you were listening to us on the podcast service, to give us a review, preferably a 5-star review, because it makes me feel good and helps with the algorithms. And if you're watching on YouTube, thumbs up down below, subscribe to the channel, comment below, all that fun stuff. But thank you, everyone, for listening, watching, whatever you're doing with us. We'll see y'all next week.
See ya.